Amen. Well, just turn to the person on your left or right and tell both of them to say, we're glad you're here. All right, now say it again like you mean it. That's better. That's better. We are so blessed that you're here. We're so thankful for the Christ that lives on the inside of you, for he is mighty to the save. Amen? And there's no one around you, no one in your family, no one in your neighborhood that is outside the ability for God to transform through the power of his love in your life. Can you agree to that? That's right. It's all through you. You know, testimony shared on Wednesday night, and another pastor friend of mine, they were in the fast also together with us, and excuse me, they have a ministry to men, and they were working with them, and the one guy they've been working with for like 9 months, just really been coming through the program, has been amazing, working with them, and then in the midst of the fast, everything went wrong, and they ended up having to take him to a psych ward in the midst of it, and they had no idea why, and it just felt like complete and total failure after he was there, and they got him back. He apparently had stopped some of his medicines and stuff like that, and in the midst of it, but he just felt so defeated. Anybody ever been there where you fasted and things just went sideways and the pressure came and things didn't go the way that you wanted them to? And so I just happened to call and we were talking about something else, and he was explaining it to me. He said, I was just in my prayer closet. He said, I was just struggling. It's like, God, 9 months, been taking appointments, praying with him, standing and believing, and then stepping out in faith. And he said, it just is a struggle. And I said, well, yeah, we all walk through those where we're expecting one thing and sometimes it doesn't always go our way. Amen? I said, so what are we going to do today? He said, I'm just struggling. I just want to stay in my closet in prayer. I said, well, it's time to get out of your closet today. You've already spent time in the Word. You've already spent time in prayer. And today is another miraculous day that God has given us. Amen? See, I'm not interested in your circumstances. Tell your neighbor, say, your circumstances will change. It's not about the circumstances. Things didn't go the way that you wanted. I mean, the guy is fine now. Just so you know, I don't want to forget that part out. The guy's fine. And, but I said, today is another miraculous day, so you need to get out there and do what God has called you to do. Go touch whoever God puts in your path and whatever plan he has for your life. All right, he says, I needed you to call me today. I said, well, I'm just so blessed that we could be used by God, right? Everybody just to encourage someone else. And then he called me later on and he said, I got to tell you what happened. He said, I got to tell you. He said, it was amazing because we went to the hospital. One of the families in our church had a baby, so I went to the hospital. And the baby came out with all kinds of complications. And they said the baby would need surgery. He said, so we just went in and I prayed for the baby. And then I had to go to another appointment. And I came back, he says, and as I came back, the doctor stopped me in the hallway. And he said, what did you do to that baby? He said, what? He said, what'd you do to that baby when you were here? He said, I prayed for that baby. He said, well, there's nothing wrong with that baby. It doesn't need surgery or anything, completely healed. But I want you to know the principle and the purpose is that even if something didn't go your way, it doesn't mean that the miracles have stopped in your life. Just because he didn't answer the prayer the way that you wanted it doesn't mean that you get to stop now and feel sorry for yourself. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm sick of you feeling sorry for yourself. Tell your other neighbor, say, the whole world is tired of you. It's true. It's true. So many times something doesn't go the way that we want, and what do? We hide in our prayer closet. It sounds spiritual. But can I tell you, if you're hiding there because of failure, it's not spiritual. It's infantile. Because today is a day of miracles. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm sitting next to a miracle. Amen. Amen. No, don't go there. My wife is up here singing a song, Are You Ready for a Miracle? So we've been talking about going into this new year, and everything is about two words, just go. Amen? Where our purpose is to be trained and equipped in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and then to be sent out into a lost and dying world. And You know, I was, where? Tom, can I share that? I won't mention any names. All right. Sometimes we have to stand for what we believe also, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But someone that Tom knows was in art class in school, and they said, draw something for art. So he drew Trump 2020. That'll always get you an A+. The teacher came by and ripped it up. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Easy. Easy, mama. She ripped it up. Said, I don't like him. And we don't do political stuff here. Well, I wish that was the truth in the public schools. Amen? Has nothing to do with what he wrote. It has to do with the freedom that we get, that we're losing when good people don't stand up and do something. When nobody says anything and we just walk away, we don't want to cause a scene. Can I tell you, it's time the church caused a scene. In righteousness. In righteousness. And it has nothing to do with whatever he drew. It has to do with if it's right or wrong, because we're building, what kind of a culture are we building? A kingdom culture, amen? So it has nothing to do with what he drew. Could have been anything. Could have been a cross or whatever, but just because someone doesn't like it, they feel like they have the right to rip up something that someone else does. We don't have a right to do that, and neither does anybody else. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. The Bible says when you've done all, to do what? Stand. That's what he's called us to do. In righteousness. In righteousness, because you're going to have an opportunity to act like the world or act like the church. When pressure comes into your life, how do you respond? Are you going to act like the world and flip out? Or are we going to act like the men and women of God that we are and say, well, I believe that this steps over the line of this person's freedoms in the Lord Jesus Christ or in America? And it's just about standing for what's best. It's a day of miracles. It's a day to make your voice heard. It's a day to stand up so that the world would know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? So you're gonna have opportunities. Oh, you'll have them. He'll put you in places to see where your strength lies. And this morning, the Bible, you know, last couple weeks we've been talking about salt and light, that every one of us are salt and light in Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, right? And we said that we're the light of the world. And does light ever have a problem overpowering darkness? No, it never does. Tell your neighbor, say, you have no problems overcoming darkness. Right. The only issue in any one of our lives are going to agree with the word of God or going to agree with the darkness, one of the two. When we agree with the word of God, we always overcome because we've overcome by the what? That's right, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we have already overcome because of Jesus Christ. We have overcome because of Jesus Christ. Now, nothing is impossible because we believe. Therefore, we agree that greater is he that is where? In you than he that is. Right. So darkness does not have authority over us. Amen? Right. It doesn't rule over us anymore. Oh, we walk into places. We struggle with our mind and thoughts. How many, you know, without a showing of hands, how many came in this morning struggling in their identity in Jesus Christ and the freedom that you have to worship him in spirit and in truth? Don't raise your hand. See, because it all depends on what happened to us or in us or around us this week, whether we come in the freedom and agreeing with his word or whether we agree with what happened. And I believe that God wants us just to simply agree with his word. Amen? And we said that salt's a preservative of the moral and spiritual integrity of the word. So when we walk, whatever the situation is, whether it was a feeling of failure and now I'm hiding in my prayer closet, or whether there's something that is perpetrated upon us as we shared, it doesn't matter. Either way, we have a response to the world. And the response has to be based in faith according to the word of God. Every time our response has to come from the word of God. And the word of God is always going to cause us to walk in faith, and it's always going to call us to walk in faith in every situation. It is not going to call us to try to control every situation. Oh, how we like to try that. And every married couple said amen. Because well, either side, doesn't matter, male or female, look at, we're equal opportunity employers around here. Whether it's the man or the woman, we all have issues of control. in different areas of our lives. And we learn marriage teaches us to lay down our lives. But we said that salt preserves. And therefore, we've been sent here. We live here in order to preserve the moral and the spiritual integrity of the word. This is not about you. This is about the integrity of the word. This is not about your purpose. This is about God's purpose in your life. Because how many know a lot of people walk according to their own purpose, not the purpose that God ordained? How many times do we get distracted with things in our lives? And the things that we desire. My mom brought in a picture this morning and from 1985, playing football on Guam. And we were playing against the Navy and loved playing football. And so it was a picture of me. I was quarterback. We were playing the Air Force against Navy on Guam. Huh? Yeah. I said, look at that form, because my arm was back. And, of course, Pastor Romano said, well, it was a little bit low. You should have had that arm a little bit higher in order for the follow-through. And it was back in 85. It was before, you know, long before Tom Brady entered in. They didn't call me. I don't know why, but... you know, sometimes we enjoy things and then our purpose gets a little bit off course or off track, and we try to please or we go after what we're strong in rather than what God called us to be, and that's strong in Him. Amen? Being salt and light is when we're able to sacrifice our lives for the good of others so that it looks to them that we have treasure somewhere else. John Piper. Does it look to those around you that you have treasure somewhere else? Or are we chasing the same treasures that the world is? You see, because if we're gonna walk as salt and light, that means we desire that there's a treasure in eternity, and the things of this world, they're simply temporary aspects that we can utilize for the cause of the kingdom, and that's it. And then we said last week that we need to be prudent. And we said in Proverbs 14 and 15, it says, consider well your steps or have good judgment. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to walk in good judgment this year. Okay. It said, find out knowledge and discretion in Proverbs 8, 12, and also wisdom. And discretion is the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. Can I encourage you that discretion should be the freedom to decide what the spiritual answer is in a particular situation? And we are to preserve the knowledge of the word of God with discretion. We're to walk in that peace and that joy and in that love. We are to be the examples on the earth, and we all know that. And then in wisdom also, it says, I, wisdom, we're to preserve wisdom, not to walk as man walks, but as Jesus Christ walked. We can't walk in the wisdom of men because we'll fall every single time. Amen? So if we're going to walk prudent before the Lord God, we're going to be salt and light, walking prudent before the Lord, then we're going to have good judgment. We're going to walk in knowledge with discretion, and we're going to walk with wisdom, or walking according to the word of God, walking according to his principles, his precepts, his plan, his purpose. All of these we're going to walk according to, because they must be esteemed higher than your plan, your purpose, and your desire. Amen? Or mine. And can I encourage you? I believe that he wants to change each one of us some more this year. Yes. Thank God that you three showed up today. That's all I can say, because I was feeling pretty lonely. John chapter 15 and verse 7, which we know very well. If you abide in me, my word abides in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Abide in the light, continuing being salt, walking in intimacy with the King. Abiding in him, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. There's two points here. Obviously, it points to that intimacy and obviously not getting outside the word of God. We get outside the word of God, I always got in trouble. In every area. Marriage, children, money, job, relationships. When I get outside the word of God, then my flesh takes over. Whenever the flesh takes over, trouble always ensues for some reason in my life. I don't know about yours. But when that flesh starts to rise up, troubles start to come. But when I submit myself to the word of God and I allow the word of God to subdue my heart, my mind, my will, and my emotions and bring them into a place of maturity, and then there's always peace in my heart. And when there's peace in my heart, guess what comes out of our mouths? Life. But when there's pain in the heart, what comes out of our mouths? Death, destruction. Division, these things start to boil out of us And it's usually because I did not abide in him or his word. So if you abide with me and my word abides in you, whatever you wish, ask whatever you wish. The qualifications are abiding in his word and his way, because we're not going to ask amiss. And so many people ask amiss. Lord, I'll do whatever I want, and this is what I want you to do. Lord, I'll speak any way I want, but this is what I'm going to command you to do. Lord, this is what I want. This is what I want. He said, well, come here, abide with me. No, I don't have time for you. Well, here, just read what my word says, because I got a lot to say about that subject that you're struggling in. No, I'm not interested in your word. I'm interested in my word, my will, and my way. He said, but the problem is I am the way, and there is none besides me. And then we have to come to grips with that once again in our natural man. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, as we get into it again today, let it be that your word goes forward in each one of our hearts. Father, we want ears that are open this morning. We want our hearts to be true to you, so that no other thought do we have in our mind except yours. Father, we know that you have created the worlds, and before the world was formed, your son was already given as a sacrifice. Father, we're living out that freedom that you wrote about in your word, that had been penned many years ago. Father, we're living out that joy that you have placed deep down in our heart, that even when things go sideways, we know we can trust you to work all things together for good. Father, we are in agreement this morning that the power of the blood was enough to wash away all the guilty stain, and we're not guilty any longer of the sins that we've committed of yesterday for those that are in Christ Jesus. And Father, we also enjoy the presence of your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us and fills us with wisdom. And Father, this morning I pray that we would hear the words of your Holy Ghost, and that as he speaks through each one of us, or to each one of us first, and then through each one of us, that we would simply say his words and add nothing to it, so that you would be glorified and we would be your sons and daughters that walk in that holiness or that righteousness that has already been imputed to us by your great love. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In order for his word to abide in us, something has to die. In order to walk in his word, something is going to have to die. It's got to. Your will has got to die. It cannot rule you any longer. Something has got to die. The way that you think has got to change or die in order for the word of God to rule in your life. Can we agree on that? In order to walk in the word of God, something's got to die. Your dreams, your aspirations, the ones that you had that were all natural, all about glorifying yourself. Tell your neighbor, say, don't glorify yourself this year. Tell your neighbor, you have to die. The only way not to glorify yourself is through death. Your flesh wants to glorify itself. It wants to be known. It wants to be heard. It wants to be seen. But the only way that the world is going to see something different is if we lay our lives down so that his word lives through each one of us. Amen? The way that we have done church, each of us as an individual, as a leadership, each ministry, whatever we've done, some part of that has to die this year, because we can't do it like we did it last year. Some churches are still trying to do it like they did it 50 years ago. Some are still saying, now, yes, we're going to have the word. Yes, we're going to have worship. Yes, some of those things will be different. But can I tell you, the way that you did it last year isn't going to carry you through this year. You're not going to be able to carry all that God has for you if you don't change. It's that simple. It's not for destruction. It's not because you did anything at all wrong last year. It's that God wants you to carry something else into this year. And the anointing that he has for you, in order for that to be fulfilled, something in you has to die. The way that we do church, do we always have to do four songs before service?
No.
That was quite quick a response, love. Have you been pondering this for a while, my love? What do you want, nine? Well, just think about it. Because if we are in such a regimented way of doing things, do we allow the king of the universe to come in and adjust us? Maybe the relationship that you have with your wives or your children, maybe something there has to change this year. Maybe it's your pocketbook, what you've been giving yourself to and running after, chasing after things in the world. Maybe that's got to change this year. Maybe the call of God on your life, maybe that's going to have to change where you step into it a little bit more this year. I don't know what God's working on in your life. I know what he's working on in mine. And I know that I have to change this year because I can't go out the rest of this year the way that I did it last year. It's got to change. Something has got to die. Otherwise, we'll always do what we've always done, right? And therefore, we'll always be where we've always been. I don't know about you, but I've been there long enough. I just soon go down to the next place that God has and open some other doors that God wants to open. But I believe he wants to do it through each one of us. The way that we do church this year is going to, we're going to have to deepen our understanding and our experience with God. It can't just be the knowledge of the word, but we're going to have to learn to experience God all by myself. Amen. Can I tell you, I think that's the weakness of the church?
Yes.
The weakness of the church is we want to experience God like this. Someone else prays. Someone else does the worship. Someone else sets up the communion. Someone else gets the heat and the lights on. Someone else prepares every aspect of it, and we come in and we get to enjoy the overflow of the preparation from many others. I believe that God wants to prepare you so that you're the overflow for the preparation of many others. I believe that he wants to prepare other lives through you. But the only way that that's going to happen is if we individually prepare ourselves and experience God one-on-one. Because you see, you can't keep me in my walk with Christ. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, your words will not keep me preaching the word of God. Your words will not keep me going into the mission field, keep me planting churches as a body. I'm not talking about me as an individual, as far as the church goes. But your words will not keep me walking strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to draw aside this year more and press into him so that I experience him all by myself in a greater depth of my understanding, so that no matter what comes, we don't change. We walk in righteousness, we walk in peace, we walk in joy no matter the circumstances. No matter what we experience in the world, it doesn't supersede my experience intimately with the Father. You see, we're gonna have to change the way that we do business, because tell your neighbor, say, it's nobody else's job to create an experience for you. It's nobody else's job. Another conference isn't going to keep you in the word. Another conference isn't going to give you a word that satisfies. Why? Because most people in here have had words of prophecy over them, and we spoke about that, and it doesn't keep you. Oh, we wage war with them, but how many know we do put them in the back drawer after a while, and we've forgotten about a lot of the things that were spoken over us. So it's not another man's word that's going to keep you. It's going to be that intimate time with the Father. And I believe that's what he wants to do this year. I believe that abiding in him is something that he wants to do. In order for us to be salt and light, if we don't have something to give every single day, if we don't spend time with the Father every single day, we're going to be limited in what we can give. Because we can't give somebody else's regenerated word or regurgitated word, right? So many people have lived their whole lives just being an echo rather than being a voice. And I realize, you see, the reason why there's so many echoes out there, and look, we need men of God, women of God that have gone on before us, and they prophesy and they speak all these things. It's amazing. We need it all. It helps build us up. But eventually, I want to hear what God said to you. And so does the world. Those around you, they want to hear what God spoke directly to you, not something somebody else said, because you're the answer for that person we might never meet. And I believe it's something that God is really dealing with this year. If we're going to be salt and light, he wants us to experience him on an individual level. Because in that, transformation comes. You know, how we have lived our lives last year won't be enough to walk in what God is calling us to do. Building kingdom culture is about a people who agree to not just receive revelation being spoken to us. It's about living out the revelatory words that have come. So it's not just hearing the words, but it's living them out. It's not just hearing revelation and all of a sudden, man, that was good, right? Now implement it. Now walk it out. Now take it out into the street and implement it into somebody else's life. All of you teenagers that are in school, listen, you got a captivated audience. Stand up on your chair at the end of school day and say, hey, boys and girls, I want you to know there's only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. Come with me on Sunday. I'll be there. I'll buy, and tell them, if you come to 8:30 service, I'll buy you all breakfast. I don't care how many you bring. We'll feed them all breakfast. Oh, that one would experience God in such an intimate way that no matter what anybody else in the classroom said, they would know that they have glorified their God and they would find great joy in proclaiming the King. Amen? And that's for each one of us at our jobs. How many without a show of hands have had words spoken over us and yet have not yet walked them out? Some words of prophecy are for future. We understand that. But so many of the words are for now, and yet we wrote them down and then we put them on the shelf and we have yet to put our hand to the plow. Some will take work on our part to prepare for that word to be manifested through us. Some, they spoke and they said, hey, this is what's coming this year. And we said, well, good, let it come. I'll be sipping my iced tea in the hammock out back. Let me know when it gets here. I'll be ready. And this is how Christians take words. This is what we do with them. Instead of saying, oh, wait a minute, let me find the scriptures that line up with that. Let me prepare my heart so that if anybody comes, I know that I have a word to give. I have a word in season that's going to help change their lives. So we're going to have to work at it a little bit. You know, have we prepared the vessel for the honorable work of the Lord? If we're going to be salt and light, we know the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 through 7. I'm not going to read down through it. But Jesus outlines the primary attributes of people who receive the rule of the kingdom he brings. And there's 9 references there in chapter 5 and verse 3. He talks about humility. If we're going to be salt and light in the world, if we're going to be salt and light in the world, according to the word, we're going to have to walk in humility. Your name doesn't have to be mentioned. And maybe your comments don't have to be heard. See, sometimes we don't have a problem with, I don't care if my name's mentioned, right? But you have to be heard. And we want to make sure that everybody knows it was me. Humility, walking the way that Christ walked, where as he walked, he said, I've come to glorify the Father. He said, I can't say what I want to say. I'm going to say what I heard in eternity. The Holy Spirit said, I can only do what I saw Jesus say and do. So each of these things, walking in that humility, understanding that the Father receives it all. Therefore, the words that we speak, they are light and they are truth and they are life to all of those who hear them. But we just disappear. We just step off once we deliver. We're the messengers that deliver the word of God. And I believe that this year, it's about delivering a message and then stepping off. Delivering a message and then waiting for them to grab hold of the message and saying, hang on a second, I got some more questions. Ah, that's a good day, isn't it? When someone comes up and says, hey, you know what? I got a question for you about that. And they start to ask the questions about the word of God. And then you have the answers. In chapter 5 and verse 10, it's a willingness to suffer persecution. The church never grows more than in a time of persecution. Are we willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? Or as long as I can maintain my lifestyle, God, you can use me. As long as I can live wherever I want, as long as I have the money to do whatever I want, as long as I can drive whatever I want, as long as I can live in the area that I want, Lord, I'll serve you. I'll allow you to be Lord and Savior of my life. Or are we willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? Chapter 5 and verse 19, it talks about the earnest attention to God's commandments. So it talks about our discipline according to the word of God, which we've already covered. Chapter 5 and verse 20, refusal to substitute false piety for genuinely right behavior. Can we start acting like the men and women of God that we are in every situation? That no matter what comes, we respond righteously. No matter who we're around, we act the same as we do right now. loving one another. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm doing my best to love you. Okay. Tell your other neighbor, it's easy for me to love you. Okay? See, can we love one another as Christ loves each and every one of us? Can we do that in such a way when we walk out of here that no matter who cuts you off in traffic, that whether or not you got your tax refund check back in time, that no matter where you go, if the transmission falls out of your vehicle, we still act the same in the midst of adversity. This is what we're looking for. This is what the scripture teaches. If we're going to be salt and light, we can't act like darkness. We can't walk in darkness and we can't act like it. Thank God there's a whole bunch of people walking in light that are resting here this morning. Some are truly resting. Just nudge them next to them, say, open your eyes. In chapter 6 and verses 10 and 13, it talks about a life of prayer. If we're gonna walk as salt and light in the word, in the world, we're gonna have to have a life of prayer. That life of prayer is that life of intimacy. It's that life of denying ourselves and realizing that without him leading and guiding us, we fail all the time. And we will fail to fulfill the most amazing plan that any man or woman has ever had on the planet, and that is doing the will of the Father. There is no greater plan. No matter how many towers people build, no matter how many, my son was just telling me about the new Amazon building up there where in between the pillars you can run 6 dump trucks down through. It's a 1,000,000-square-foot building. It doesn't matter what man builds. It pales in comparison to following after the things of God. It pales in comparison to one man or one woman surrendering their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and building into one person's life is more valuable than that entire building whenever they get done, however many millions that they spend on it. One soul in the kingdom of God is worth more than all Jeff Bezos owns. Even if he did sell off $1 billion the other day, he didn't call me, I don't know why, but we're gonna put a phone call into him afterwards. In chapter 6 and verse 33, prioritizing spiritual over material values. Once again, not living like the world. And then in chapter 7 and verse 21, above all else, acknowledging Christ's lordship by obeying the revealed will of God. If we're going to live as men and women of God, the Sermon on the Mount, obviously, and build a kingdom culture, we're going to have to live out some of these. You know, what we have built cannot hold the weight of what he wants us to carry. What you have built so far won't hold what he wants you to carry at the end of this year. What you have built so far will not carry what he wants you, will not hold what he wants you to carry at the end of this year. There's more, but something's going to have to die. Something's going to have to die in order for us to carry out all that he has desired for us by the end of this year. It always challenges our capacity to become what God is making. You know, can we all agree that the capacity he has placed in you is greater than what you're walking out? Can you agree? The capacity that you have in you is greater than what you've experienced or what you're walking out. It's something, there's something more that God has. He wants to use you in a greater way than you've ever been used before. Or have you reached it, you fulfilled everything, and you're ready to go home? I remember a couple years before Vaughn died, a good friend of ours, he said, you know, I feel like I'm done and I'm ready to go home. And I don't think it was but 2 years later, he went home in a very quick way. He is creating a new you every time you give yourself to prayer, to the word, to giving, or to serving. He's creating a new you. He's creating a stronger you. He's creating a purer you. He's creating a more beautiful you. Every time we give ourselves to prayer, he's creating us stronger. He's making us to see differently. He's allowing us to hear even greater things or hear more precisely that which he's called us to do. Every time that we enter in, every time that you give yourselves to prayer, I want you to know he's creating a better you every single time you go to prayer. A stronger you, a more beautiful you, a more powerful you. Every time you press into the word, he's creating a stronger you. Every time you get into prayer, he's transforming who you are and creating a stronger you, a more beautiful you. Every time that you open up your hand and you give, no matter how small or how big, whether it's words or whether it's natural things, every time you do, he's creating a newer you, a newer version of you. It's constant adding. God's a God that always adds to, amen? He wants to add to each and every one here, but something's got to die. That's our part. Because sometimes we're so full of us, he can't put anything else in us. If we're not preparing privately daily, we limit him. And I believe that what's breaking forth, it's just my opinion, is the experiences we have stood on will now seem to be old. I believe that what God's doing this year is the experiences that you stood on will now seem to be old. They won't have that. They won't sustain any longer. I believe God wants to do something new. He wants you to experience him in a new way. He wants you to experience his love in a new way, in a more powerful way. He wants you to experience life in a greater way. That you don't walk with your head down. You don't walk with your head in the clouds. So you don't, because whether your head's down or whether you're just looking up all the time, if you're looking past everybody around you, you're not experiencing all that God has. God wants you to impart to those people around you. Amen? That's what he's called us to do. He said, go and change the world. He said, you're a light unto this world. And so as we build a kingdom culture, I really believe that some of the experiences that you have stood on will now seem old. It's not that it was bad. It was a wonderful experience, but it can't be for the rest of your life. Because my grandkids or my kids have experienced Jesus Christ to a certain degree, but I don't want them at 6 years old to say, well, that's all I know. The rest of my life, the only experience I can ever relate to is the one when I was six. I believe God wants us to experience him in a more deeper way, amen? In a more mature way, in a greater way, in a stronger way, in a more beautiful way. I believe that that's what he wants to do, but something's got to die. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to die. We're not talking naturally or physically, all right? Some people, I'm not saying that. I believe that what he wants us to do this week, I want you to experience him in a new way. When we look, I got to get to this. Can you give me 2 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. I gotta go here. In John chapter 5 and verses 1 through 9. All right, turn over there in your Bibles quickly. John chapter 5 and verse 1. Very familiar passage. Everyone in here knows it. You've read it 100,000 times prayerfully. In verse 1, it says, and after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. And in these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. They say that 38 is the number of a slave or bondage. And then when Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you wish to get well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. The lame man in Bethesda was about to experience the kingdom up close and personal. It was different from anything he had ever heard or seen. Nothing could prepare him for what he was about to experience. But isn't it amazing? And I think we all do this to the king. I believe that we do the same thing to the Lord that this man did to Jesus. Jesus said, you want to get well? And he said, this is how you get healed around here. I think sometimes we tell Jesus how to get healed, how we want it done. He said, well, I don't have anybody to pick me up. The only way that you can get healed is somebody else pick you up and put you in the water. Somebody else has got to come and help me, but somebody else is too fast getting there. That's the way you get healed. It's the only way. Jesus didn't ask him how he wanted to get healed. Jesus just said, do you want to be well? He said, do you want to get healed? And I think that's one of some of the problems that we have in our minds is we want to tell Jesus how it should be. This man had no other understanding. It's all he ever knew. The old way of doing it was sit there for years and years waiting and hoping that you can flop into the water when it stirs and you can be healed. Jesus said, you don't even need that water. I'm the living water. He said, you want to get healed? He said, yeah, pick up your bed and get out of here. He didn't say hang out for a while. He didn't say go near the water. See, because sometimes we only have one way of looking at it. And I really believe that this year, maybe you've got this year planned out and you're trying to tell Jesus how this year is supposed to go. I want to encourage you. This year is a year of increase in your life. Increase in experiencing your Father close. Increase in your love for the lost, and increase in your visions and your dreams. Increase in understanding, increase in wisdom. Something's going to have to die. Amen? Something's going to have to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't know what's been holding every single one of you back. I know what's been holding me back. And I'm going to deal with that because I don't want to live on yesterday's experience. And I certainly am not going to tell Jesus how to heal. Because if he comes up and he says, hey, do you want to get healed? I'm just going to say, yeah, I'm good. How do you want to do it? If he says, hey, this is what I'm going to do this year, and you say, good, I want to know how you're going to use me in it. That's a good question. Rather than say, well, this is what I'll do, I'll cut out the party favors for you, Jesus. I'll set up the chairs for you, Jesus. I'll sew something into it, Jesus. And then those people over there, they can go and they can do it. Because I want to live out my experience from when I was six. I want to live in such a way, Lord, that I can just coast through, or I can just relax, and nothing is really required of me. Can I tell you, everything is required of you. Everything about your life is required of you for one purpose, that the kingdom of God be expanded. None of us get out of here. None of us can just hang on to everything that we have and say, I've done what you've asked me to do, Lord. Because he said, if you're going to let it go, he said, in order to get, you're going to have to do what? Give. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm ready to give my life to the King. All right. So there's one purpose. I hope that you're not looking at that pool and telling Jesus what to do this year. Hope you're not saying, hey, this is how people get healed around here. I'm not sure where you came from. Maybe you don't understand. Come here. Stand a little closer to me, Jesus. I got this figured out. Why don't you just stay right here for the next year or so until that water moves, and then you roll me into the water. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand around for another year before Jesus Christ touches my life and changes every area of it. I believe that he wants to do more, and he wants to do it quickly, but we're going to have to allow him to bring the healing in the way that we think, in the way that we live, in the way that we speak, in what we put before our eyes, in what we allow in our ears. All of these things have to line up with the word of God. Amen? Stand up this morning. I'm just so encouraged. I was sitting on my couch last night and just writing some of these thoughts down. And it was just constantly, tell them I want to do great things through them. Tell them I want to do great things through them. Tell them I want to do great things through them. Tell them I want to do great things through them. So I'm telling you, he wants to do great things through you. He wants to do great things through you. He wants to do great things through you. He has no other thoughts about you. That's not, God doesn't think like you think. And everybody said hallelujah. Yeah. He wants to do great things. Yeah, but he can't use me. He can use you. He can use you. His desire is to use you. But you're going to have to die. You got areas that are going to have to surrender to the leading of the King. Let's not tell him how this year is going to go. Let's just ask him, what do you want from us? How do you want us to serve you today? Can we believe for that today, even when you walk out of here, that it's still a day of miracles? That when you walk out of here, if there's a need, you go meet the need, laying hands on, encouraging, speaking life, being salt, being light, whatever it is, that it's a day of miracles and somebody's life is going to be changed because of the power of Christ inside of you? Or are you going to plan the rest of your day and have nothing to do with the kingdom? Listen, every one of us have an opportunity to do either, amen? But I want you to know he wants to do the miraculous through you. He wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through you. Don't doubt him. Please don't doubt him. He didn't send his son to the world, and then when he left, all the miraculous left. We watched the disciples walk in the miraculous. We've watched men and women walk in the miraculous. Tell your neighbor, say, I am a miracle worker. You are. Whatever miracles God wants you to walk out, maybe it's a kind word to somebody and it stops them from jumping off the bridge. Maybe it's a word of deliverance for someone and they don't overdose and they break free from that lifestyle. Maybe it's a meal for somebody that hasn't had one in a while. I don't know what it's going to be, but I believe that there's a bunch of miracle workers in this house. And if we're going to be salt and light, we're going to change people's lives. If we'll be salt and light, we'll change people's lives. And then you're going to disciple them. Tell your neighbor, say, you will disciple them, not pastor. Come on, tell your other neighbor, say, oh, you'll disciple them, not pastor. All right. See, we got to come to that agreement. Your job to disciple them when they come in. Because when they come in, they're going to come in, there's going to be many. And we're going to need you to disciple each and every one of them. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the men and women of God in this house. Father, we agree that we're going to walk in the moral and the spiritual integrity of the Word of God. We're not going to see as man sees. We're going to see as you see. We're not going to speak as man speaks, but we're going to speak life into a lost and dying world. We're not going to respond or react the way that the flesh wants to, but Father, we're going to react. We're going to act as sons and daughters of God. We're going to walk out of here, and when we walk out, we know that all the authority of heaven lives inside of us. And therefore, all the power of the throne room of God through your Holy Spirit is accessed by the world through each and every one of us. Let us see our hands, O God, as healing hands. Let us allow our tongues to be those that bring life into death, into dark situations. Let us bring light and dispel the darkness in many people's lives. And in our own minds, Father, let it be your words that we remind ourselves of daily. The words that strengthen, the words that rebuke sickness and it flees. The word that says, I am a child of God, when the enemy lies to us and tries to stop us or hinder us. Today, Father, we agree that just as that lame man, Father, when you say, get up, take your bed and walk, Father, we're going to grab it quickly and we're going to take off in the direction that you want us to go. Thank you for healing the thoughts of many this morning. Thank you, Father, for your delivering power this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word that never returns void this morning. Let us walk with great humility as we go out of here, not responding according to the world, but responding according to the word. Father, we agree that greater is he that is in us. We agree that all things are possible because we believe. We agree that we are brand new creatures on the face of this planet, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we agree that you have given us all power and all authority, Lord, to tread on serpents, to tear down principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Father, you've given us the authority over it all. We're no longer those that are subject to the lies of the enemy, for we have grabbed a hold of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we rebuke the lies of the enemy now, and we agree with the words that have come down from another world, from eternity. We truly are those that are righteous because of Jesus Christ. Lord, there's no doubt in our minds this morning that we are who you say we are. And as we walk out of this house, let us do what you have called us to do. We glorify your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.